Before we get started on the next promise, let's discuss the different forms promises come in and that are seen in Scripture. First, a promise is when a person commits to do a particular thing for another. There are promises that are conditional. This kind of promise is received only if the receiver of the promise performs or meets a particular condition set by the one who makes the promise. Such as, I will give you $5 only if you mow the grass. The unconditional promise is when the maker of the promise desires out of his goodness to do something for another without the receiver doing or making any conditions. Such as, Billy, next Sunday, I want to give you $50. This promise is created just out of the goodness of the giver, just because it pleases him to do so. The unconditional promise produces the unconditional gift that costs the giver of the promise everything, but the receiver absolutely nothing, such as Titus 1:2. This is such a promise where we read where God promised himself to give man eternal life before he created man, just because it pleased him to do so, or what we call grace, which was produced out of a love that he had for the human race within the imagination of his mind before even creating him. Did you know a prophecy is a promise? Think about it. A prophecy is God telling man that something will happen days, months, maybe even years before it happens. But in reality, God is promising that a certain event will happen in a specific way and to whom. Such as the prophecy that spoke of the exact town where Christ would be born, which of course was Bethlehem. Then there are those promises which are not spoken directly, but God using circumstances and people as actors reflect that which will come or will happen using picture-type forms. These promises, as well as the others, are also prophecies, such as the promise that we are about to look upon. Now, let me set the background for this such promise. Adam and Eve have committed the first act of sin or disobedience, which was the act of eating the fruit that God told them not to eat, which was from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which brought forth death or aging, which was the opposite of God's promise to give Adam and Eve eternal life, our eternal relationship with himself. After their act of disobedience, they hid in the garden and hid their nakedness with fig leaves. But God, after dishing out the product of their sin, God made for them coats of skin to cover their nakedness. Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. It is easy to look back on this promise and see what God was saying by his actions to Adam and Eve. One, the fig leaves that Adam and Eve used to cover their nakedness was an act to cover their conscience or awareness of their direct disobedience to God's command not to eat. Just like a small child who breaks a vase or tries to hide the evidence of their crime. The conscience is an alarm system connected to God's law or rule of behavior, and when one defies that rule, it is triggered and it is set off. We see that the conscience is set off by the things we do, such as hiding evidence of one's disobedience, such as Adam and Eve hiding or covering their sexual parts from view. Genesis 3:7 states that they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The word apron in the Hebrew means handkerchief, which is a small cloth which was used to cover a large object known as the human body. Now, let me emphasize that conscience is an alarm system that God put within each and every one of us, man, woman, or child. This alarm system goes off when you do something wrong or commit an offense against someone else or even God. When our conscience goes off, our senses go overboard and we become very sensitive, such as when you've done something wrong and your hearing becomes very acute or very alert to sounds which may startle you because of your knowing of your guilt of the wrong that you have committed. Such as the boy who got into the cookie jar that his parents told him not to get into while they were gone. The word conscience means awareness, and as soon as you begin to think about eating a cookie, your alarm goes off, and the awareness of your wrong is multiplied as well as your sensitivity to everything around you, including sounds. Then, as you move toward the cookie jar, a limb drops on the roof, and you jump in fear of thinking that you've been caught already. Your courage builds back up, and after you've checked to make sure that no one is around, you lift the lid and remove a cookie. As you put the lid back on, you try to put it on just like you found it, with a chip on the lid facing northwest. And then you wipe off the jar just in case your parents have a fingerprint kit. The sensitivity of your senses that you feel are doing something that you know you're not supposed to or doing something wrong, let your conscience warn you not to do it. God put within you to warn you that you're about to do something wrong so that you might back off from performing that wrong. Now, that night after the parents came, all seemed okay. But the fear and worry kept you wondering if you were going to be found out or not. While everybody was comfortable enjoying family time watching TV, your conscience gave you no peace. No, not for 1 minute. And at night, you couldn't sleep, wondering if your mother had counted the cookies before she had put them in the jar. And you were wondering if, at that moment while you were in bed, if she was in there counting them. This is your conscience. So while you may have gotten away with it with your parents, your conscience, knowing all and will not shut up and leave you alone, as the picture of the crime keeps being pictured in your mind again and again and again. Just like an alarm lets you know of a crime in process, so also does God's alarm let you know of a moral crime either being thought about or in process. Now let me say this, every time you eat a cookie, no matter what kind it might be, your conscience will bring back to your memory that particular crime. The Bible speaks of peace. As you know, one who has set off his conscience has no inward peace or rest within his mind. But there is constant fear, wondering if you will be found out or not. You're on constant guard and in a defensive mode, being snappy and always on guard, ready to argue and respond to others with a raised voice. You may ask, why is one in such a state? And of course, the answer is because of your guilt and the fact that there is no peace or rest in your mind. Having committed an act against another, by not responding to them in their love behavior, such as in forgiveness, gentleness, patience, kindness, self-control, obedience to authority, or in faith. But instead you responded in the sinful behavior, which is hate, anger, fighting, jealousy, disobedience to authority, murder, theft, adultery, fornication, selfishness, any form of addiction, gossip, slander, unforgiveness, and more. These actions committed unto another will set off your conscience, because the conscience is connected to the law, which is love. Therefore, there is no peace. Let us look at Romans 2, 14 and 15. When the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. This is referring to the conscience connected to the law of love. Whenever we do not respond in the love behavior, the conscience or the alarm system goes off and does not excuse us, but accuses us. But if we keep a conscience clear of offense to man and God, then our conscience will excuse us. Now in Acts 24:16, Paul says, "Herein do I excuse myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and men." The word void means empty. Think of your conscience as being like a glass, and the trick is to keep it empty. Whenever you do not love others, or be gentle, kind, patient, forgiving, obedient to authority, or exercising self-control and giving to others, you start filling that glass, or you start filling your conscience, and therefore you have no peace. The only way to shut up your conscience or to shut off the alarm is by emptying the glass and keeping it empty. You may ask, how do you do this? Simply by one word, by asking forgiveness from the ones you offended. Only by getting right with others can you bring peace back to your mind and your emotions. Some of us have full glasses, and you must deal with each offense in order to bring a peace and a calm. Well, Sister Mary, I'm out of time, but if you'll come back next time, we'll pick up on this promise dealing with the guilt and the conscience of mankind.
Yes, Brother Thomas, thank you. If you would like a tape or CD of today's lesson, please write to promiseofgod.net, 545 Big Leaf Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78264. Or email us at t_sal@sbcglobal.net. Or you may call area code 210-626-1416. With your request for any of the broadcast lessons or questions or comments. See you next time at thepromiseofgod.net.